some of that on a Wednesday night or Sunday night or something. Open your Bibles. I'm going to review some stuff maybe that you're familiar with. John chapter 1. We'll go to John chapter 1. And I just am a little more comfortable down here when it comes to teaching. I get up there and I forget whether I'm teaching or preaching. And on Wednesday night, I want to just teach some if I can. And so it helps me. Say, why you do that? I feel more comfortable whether you do or not, okay? So I'm kind of that persuasion tonight. John chapter 1, I don't know what I might want to title this, laying a little bit of a foundation for, I'll speak to you on the, if I was going to give it a subject, I'd call it an error or a mistake that's lasting. You know, it's one thing to have something that's temporarily an error and corrected. I think about the fellow that comes sliding up in his car in front of the drugstore, jumped out of the car, ran in, ran up to the pharmacy, and he said, quick, 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 give me something for hiccups. And the pharmacy was a pretty good-sized fellow. He just reached over the counter and slapped him real hard. Guy said, man, what'd you do that for? I ought to bust you. He said, well, you don't have hiccups anymore, do you? He said, well, I never did. It's my wife in the car. Sometimes you make a mistake that's kind of temporary. Sometimes it's lasting. You pay for it for a long, long time. The one I want to point out tonight, I think we're going to see that it's been lasting a long, long time. I know that most of us, myself included, probably get most of our news off of Fox Network. It's not all it could be, but it's sure not CNN and CBS and some of the worst of the liberals. Anyway, NBC, they're just all liberal as they can be, you know that. But anyway, still I want to say something here. Just because somebody is conservative in politics don't make them a good Christian. It don't even make them saved. You understand what I'm saying? I have heard nothing out of Bill O'Reilly to make me think he's saved. Now, he's a good Catholic. That don't do it. I heard him the other night say, you can't take the Bible literally. And then he went on to say that surely you wouldn't believe that a whale swallowed Jonah. You remember the story? I'll tell it again because I don't remember it real good. And if I tell it again, I'll remember it. Okay? The little girl riding on the train reading the Bible, remember the story? By the way, that'll get you attention riding on an airplane or anywhere else if you read your Bible. But anyhow, she was reading her Bible, and a fellow came down the aisle and saw her, and it got his attention. He come back by, and he said, little girl, what you doing? And she said, well, I'm reading God's Word. He said, is that really God's Word? She said, yes. He said, do you really believe that a whale swallowed Jonah? She said, yes, I do. He said, well, how could that be? She said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. He said, suppose when you get to heaven, Jonah's not there. She said, very well, you can ask him. Somebody ought to send that to Bill O'Reilly. Amen. But I'm glad he's conservative in his politics, and I agree with him almost on all the political stuff, pretty much. Glenn Beck the same way. And I don't know. Somebody said, well, Glenn's saved. Well, I hope he's gotten saved because I heard him saying some things earlier that made me think he wasn't. Anytime anybody's earning their way, they're not saved. Anytime anybody thinks going to church alone is going to take care of it, that don't do it. And you pick up on this with these people, as good as they are on their politics, and thank God for them. And by the way, they've been witnessed to. But it's an amazing thing sometimes, the wall that's built up there when a fellow thinks he's earning his way, being good enough to make it. It builds up a wall that blocks the truth out so many times that he's got to trust Christ and his righteousness alone. But anyway, I want you to go to John chapter 1 with me. I'll cover a little bit of familiar territory here with you. In John chapter 1, pick it up with me just for context. Let's go to verse 43 and read down maybe through about verse 46 or 7. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And I'm going to read just this last verse because my message goes back to verse 45. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. By the way, that's a fabulous statement. You can't say that over many folks where there is no guile. But we have, and here's a big truth. We ought to do like Philip. And we ought to find our loved ones, and we ought to find our friends and all that for his soul when it goes. But I want you to notice something in particular here in verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael, saith unto him, We have found him. Now watch the next statement. Of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. Now here's the big statement, the son of Joseph. Now, you and I know, if we went back to Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, we know that Jesus was not the biological son of Joseph. We know that, don't we? However, that was an accusation that was made by the skeptics, by the ones that were criticizing, even in that day. Go over to chapter 6 here. And pick it up with me in verse 42, and you'll hear them making this very same accusation. John chapter 6, verse 42. I'm waiting on your pages now. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? So here's the critics, here's the accusation. Now, I've had critics myself say to me, well, I can show you in the King James Bible where it says that Jesus was the son of Joseph. And they go back to verse 45 here of John chapter 1. Do we have a contradiction? No, we don't. We have some folks that need to do some Bible study. Amen. A little bit mixed up on this thing. So, picking it up in verse 45 again here, we know the virgin birth is true. Amen. We know that the very last verse of Matthew chapter 1 tells us that after the angel had spoken to Joseph and told him to take Mary, that that she had been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and Gabriel gave him the message. By the way, that Jewish man would have never married a pregnant girl. It took God to give him a message to get him to do that.
Right.
So, In that context there, we know that the scripture says, last verse of Matthew chapter 1, that he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, speaking of Jesus. So the Bible is really clear about the virgin birth. You have to get a perverted Bible, and there's plenty of them out there, to deny the virgin birth. We recognize that. So the King James, has it made a mistake? Is there a contradiction here in John chapter 1 when it says Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph? No, it isn't. But there's a misunderstanding and an error that was made at that time and is still being made today that you and I need to understand.
Right.
Now, here's the problem. The problem is that the Jews knew that the Old Testament predicted the Messiah to come. Where they had a problem was that the Messiah was predicted in the Old Testament to do two things. One, he had to suffer. Isaiah 53, even though the Jews don't like to admit that that's talking about Jesus, many other portions, they knew that he had to suffer. But at the same time, they were looking for him to come as king and to rule a kingdom and to bring the kingdom to Israel. So they could not see that being fulfilled in one man. You and I know it's fulfilled in one man. You and I know that Jesus is both. So they invented two men. We could say two messiahs. And they believed that one would come and he would be Messiah Ben Joseph. The word Ben in English there is saying son of. So he would be the suffering Messiah. The Messiah, son of Joseph. Joseph that was put in prison. Joseph that had the problem with Potiphar's wife. Joseph that was later elevated to Pharaoh's throne. But Joseph that suffered and was in the dungeon and was in jail and was betrayed by his brother. And you know who I'm talking about. So they saw him as being Messiah, Ben, or son of Joseph. But they also said another man will come. There'll be two of them. There'll be Messiah Ben Joseph, and there'll be Messiah Ben David, King David. So they saw this thing of the Messiah being fulfilled in two, not in one. You and I know that the Lord Jesus Christ covered the whole scope. He was the one. We understand that. Now let's take a look at this. In Luke chapter 7, we find that John's been put in prison. Remember that? You know what he got in trouble for? He wouldn't speak politically correct. So he told King Herod, you can't have your brother's wife. And ultimately, through an evil woman, he got his head chopped off. Remember the story? But he stood up and he told the truth. Now, in this context, John's in prison before he's had his head cut off, Luke chapter 7. John's in prison now, and he says, and it says in verse 19 of Luke chapter 7, and John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now watch the singular talk here. Singular, art thou he that should come? Singular, or do we look for another? A lot of preachers, and I may have, hopefully I haven't, but sometime in my preaching, I may have said something about John the Baptist doubting. I really don't believe John doubted. Preachers say, well, if as great as John the Baptist doubted, then you and I, we just flesh too, we might doubt. Well, that's a good argument, might even be good preaching, but I don't think it's good Bible. Here's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying that when John was in Elizabeth's womb, you remember the story? And Mary came to visit Elizabeth. She was with her 3 months, if you read the scripture close. She came to visit. And when Mary came in and gave a salutation, said hello, as it were, to Elizabeth, the babe in the womb of Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist, at 6 months old, gave her a good kick. And she recognized it, that John the Baptist responded to the news that Mary was also pregnant and that Jesus was going to be born. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. John, before he was born, knew who Jesus was. Now, here he is out there baptizing on the banks of the Jordan and Jordan River. And he sees Jesus coming. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He knew who Jesus was. Right. He's not doubting. But what he's hearing from the Pharisees, from the scribes, from the Jews, he's hearing the prediction of two messiahs. That's what they were preaching. They were preaching there's going to be the Messiah Ben Joseph and the Messiah Ben David. And therefore, Jesus couldn't be. And so John, hearing of all the works Jesus is doing, sends his disciples, as it were, to Jesus. He sends them from the jail himself. And then if you read close, as we go back here to Luke chapter 7, and they go and they ask the question, or look we for another, verse 20, when the men were coming to him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, singular, or look we for another? Here's what John is asking. Are you doing the whole job, or is there supposed to be another one coming? I know who you are. I don't believe John doubted. I believe he was trying to correct the heresy and the error and the mistake that the Pharisees were making in trying to say there was two coming. Now, in that very same hour, it says in verse 21, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Now, what's he saying? He's saying, John, I'm doing it all. I'm showing my credentials. I'm showing my power. I'm showing that I'm doing everything that the Messiah is supposed to do. And he goes on, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, if John was thinking, speed it up, or whatever, Jesus did not criticize John when these disciples left. He didn't say, well, you know, he's in prison and he's losing his faith, or he's in prison and he's hurting. No, he didn't do that. But he praised John as being one of the greatest born of women. And Jesus is sitting back. Now see, John is really asking this. If you're the one, I know you are, we're not looking for another, then it means my time is up. I'm in jail. I'm probably not going to get out. My job is finished. What did John say? He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's what he said of John the Baptist. And so he knew his mission was over. He was the forerunner. He'd done his job. He'd pointed to Jesus. Now he's saying, my time's up. I think he might have been satisfying that little bit of human knowledge that he wanted, assurance that he wanted. Maybe that was true. Probably it was. But you know, Jesus sent him back a message that he could understand. Now I come down to say this. Why will the Jews? I'm talking about Bible-believing Jews, Torah-practicing Jews, Old Testament Jews, Orthodox Jews. Why will they accept the Antichrist? That's been a puzzle. I've heard things like, well, he will be a Jew for the Jews to accept him. I'm not so sure of that. Not so sure. In fact, in their own teaching, some of their own teaching does not teach that he'll be a Jew, but that doesn't matter. Why will they accept him? Well, from what I just said right here, this same error is with them today. It has not been corrected. They're still looking for the two to show up and do exactly what they were preaching they would do in the days of Jesus. Now, if you were to turn over to John chapter 5 and pick it up in about, I'm thinking verse 43. Here's a prediction Jesus himself made. John chapter 5, verse 43. It's Bible study night, so I'm waiting on you to look at your scripture. Verse 43, Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. They did reject him. They crucified him over what they call blasphemy, the very fact that he said he was the great I am. And so here he says, I'm come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. That's a long-range prediction that the Jews are going to accept a false Christ, a false Messiah. Now, I fear, and I know for sure, that's exactly what is going to happen. Now, it's a great danger. The reason it's a great danger is because two are going to show up. Two are going to show up. If you want to see who they are, you turn to Revelation chapter 13. And I give you time again to get there with me. There's two going to show up. They're going to be deceivers. If you go to Revelation chapter 13, we could not have time to go through it all, but you find in Revelation chapter 13, there's two men that show up. One of them is called the beast, and the other one is called what? The false prophet. Two of them. And the false prophet points to the beast, and we find out that, of course, that's the chapter where you get the number 666. That's where you find out that everybody's got to have the number to buy or sell. And we find out there's going to be a beast is going to be wounded, but he's not going to die. And there's going to be an image made to him, and the false prophet is going to point to him and say, he's the one, worship him. And the whole world is going to buy into that. A lot of discussion about the rapture. I do not believe that the church will be here. Amen. In Revelation 13. Yes. I do not believe you and I would be fooled by these two guys. Right. I believe God's saved, born-again people will be snatched out, caught up, gone before we get here. But with the Holy Spirit living within the temple, which you and I, we are the temple, when the Holy Spirit is removed, now I know he'll still do work on earth, but he'll be removed with the believers. Therefore, he'll not be given enlightenment and restraining the evil like he is now. As bad as this world is right now, the Holy Spirit is still restraining. And while you see in a tug of war going on politically and every other kind of way, morally, spiritually, every kind of way you look in this world, can you imagine if the Holy Spirit was not working within believers, what kind of world this would be? That's what it is going to be. You don't want to be here, brother. Somebody says, well, the church got to go through the trib. Oh, no, it hadn't got to go through the trib. Thank God it hadn't. That tribulation is the day of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. And I hear folks say, well, you know, we've had it so easy as a church. We ought to be persecuted some. We ought to suffer some. Wait a minute. Jesus did all my suffering on the cross. He paid for my sins completely there. Amen. Get off this business that you got to help him pay for yours. Amen. That's called penance, not repentance. I saw today on the TV, and you know it's going to be full of the Pope being elected. I probably ought not say this, but my sentiments was with the seagull. Now, how many of you know what I just said? That seagull sat on that little old chimney stack for over 30 minutes, because it took me over 30 minutes to eat lunch, and he was still sitting there. I ought not say this. I don't know whether he laid a deposit there before he left or not. But still, my sentiments. Just help yourself. You came to a Baptist church tonight. I'm just saying to you that dog and pony show is one of the biggest deceptive things that's put across by the powerful media of this country. Tens of thousands of people out there in the rain seeing who is going to be God, their God. Showed one man barefoot in a, looked like a sackcloth or something out there, bowing down. Strange to me. Boy, it's strange to me how out of all these men we can elect a man and then we're going to make him the vicar of Christ. Christ in standing there instead of Christ. Folks, that's falsehood. That's religious deception. Is exactly what that is, and that's too bad. I feel sorry for Muslims deceived with that junk. As horrible as they are, I'd love to see them saved. I feel sorry for Catholics that are deceived. Now, maybe a few of them have trusted Christ, but boy, they had to get through a lot of garbage to get to him. I mean, a lot of it, a lot of error. Just too bad that that's the case, but it is. A couple of the reporters, and one of them I think may be saved. I've heard her on there a time or two before say some pretty good things, but she said, now they've been in that concave. They've been locked in. Nobody could get in there. They've been in there a long time, but we understand now they're letting them out in the rooms where they can smoke. That's the truth. Did you hear that? Two times they go into the smoking rooms. I don't know, man. But anyway, I got off on that a little bit, didn't I? But it's okay to watch politically and watch religiously, because there's going to be a couple of characters show up. And they are going to deceive Israel to a great degree. They're going to deceive the remaining world that hadn't been raptured out. They're going to deceive a lot of people. And this error, this mistake that the Jews made when Jesus was walking on the earth is still plaguing them. It's still with them, because they're still looking for two. The book of Zechariah tells they're going to see Jesus coming back. They're going to repent at that time, and they're going to recognize him. They're going to ask him, where'd you get the wounds in your hands and in your side? He's going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. The error is going to get corrected near the end of the tribulation period when Jesus comes back in his glory. But in the meantime, it's going to cause them a heap of trouble. I mean, a lot of trouble is yet facing the nation of Israel. And that's too bad. But here's an error that took place and was being preached by the rabbis, by the scribes, by the Pharisees, all the way back in the days when Jesus was on the earth, and it's still going to plague them to this day and cause them to be greatly deceived. Now, when you see the scenes that you'll see if you go home and turn on your TV tonight, it'll still be all about the Pope getting elected. That's what you'll read and see and hear for the next few days. It's a little bit of a shadow. It's more than that. It's a preview of how masses of people get deceived. Tremendous masses of people deceived. I know we're supposed, I say we're supposed to. Somebody says, well, you ought to show a little more respect. I can't show respect for something that's damning folks' souls to hell. It's hard to show respect for that. When my Bible tells me that I'm to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Not many faiths, but one. One way to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man, he said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And being religious, fulfilling the rules of a religious order, don't save anybody, man. If it would have, Jesus could have stayed in heaven, because there was plenty of religion on the earth when he came. And there's still plenty. It's grown all kind of ways, but it's still just as wrong as it was when he was here and when he condemned it. What did he say to the Pharisees? He said, you both encompass land and sea to make one proselyte. And when you've made him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than he was. Every soul winner can tell you that. You'll come a lot nearer winning an old boy out here that knows he's a sinner than you will one that's got his religion. I mean, the hardest ones you'll reach are the ones in the cults and the isms and the false religion. They're the ones that's got the blindness and the wall up. The one that says, I'm a sinner on my way to hell, that's a candidate for getting saved right there. And we all know that by experience. But the false prophet and the beast will show up in Revelation 13. It's amazing, the tandem, the two, the pair that will show up and deceive the whole world. And somebody says, well, you're bigoted. No, I'm a Bible believer. Amen. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. And I just hate to see the stuff that is being pushed off on folks today. But get this thought in your mind. The King James Bible is not an error. And when folks try to say it is, it makes a fool out of them. Yeah. Sooner or later, it exposes that unbelief. And this is not the King James Bible saying that Jesus was the son of Joseph. Look at it again. Look at it in verse 45. And it says, we have found him. Watch the rest of it. Of whom Moses in the law, number one, Moses in the Torah in the law, and the prophets. That's your Old Testament, law and prophets, right? So Philip is saying the one Moses spoke of and the one that the prophets spoke of. He's not saying Jesus is the biological father of Joseph. He's saying Messiah, being Joseph, is what the Jews had been preaching, what the rabbis had been preaching. So when he comes, yes, he's making a mistake in a way, but he said he's calling Jesus the Messiah. He is not calling him the earthly biological son of Joseph, who was, in a terminology we'd use today, stepfather. Today we'd use it that way. I say this, folks. Somebody said, well, you know, the prophecy of 2012 didn't come through. The minds were wrong. The world didn't end. Well, we were believing the Bible all the time anyway, not somebody's interpretation of what they thought the mind calendar said. Now, I want to say this. In light of all that, we are in exciting times. Things are snowballing, fulfilling the prophecies of the Word of God. I mean, moving rapidly, very rapidly. And somebody said, well, what about this Pope? You think he was the last one? I don't know him. I don't know what's on the agenda. He sounds like just a pretty average guy just today. But there are those that was looking for the Pope that Nostradamus supposedly predicted to be this one. I got no confidence in Nostradamus. He didn't say much. His followers say a lot that he didn't say. But with all that said, I don't know. They claim this was the 266th Pope. They claim that this was supposed to be the last one. I don't know. You remember they elected one not long ago, and he only lived 33 days, wasn't it? And then Pope John II took over. We don't know what's on the horizon about the popes. I don't know that the Pope is the false prophet, but he's a leading candidate for it, because there's masses out there bowing down that somebody needs to tell about the grace of God and how to be saved, and he's not doing that. I plainly heard one of the priests being interviewed, and he was explaining to the reporter how the Catholic Church had the authority from God to forgive your sins. I heard that clearly. And the reporter said, and he repeated it, oh yes. So she said, when we go in the confessional, like I did when I was a kid, said it scared me, said I made up some things. But he said, but the church could forgive you. A church can't forgive you nothing. Not this one, not the Catholic Church, nothing else. Brother, isn't it sad for folks to be deceived like that? That's awful. That makes our job more important. And we need to recognize the times we're in and get the job done. And with all the bad that's happened,